Be not afraid of their fear, and be not troubled, but sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Nelson Rockefeller was governor of New York State in the 1960s, and although he was a true oligarch because he was a Rockefeller, that's defined as an oligarch is a member of a small ruling class, he was fairly modest in his requirements as governor, at least in comparison with today's new style dictator governors. He ran for president as a liberal Republican. They would call him a rhino today, a Republican in name only, but aren't they all? And how things have changed. Consider this. In his stump speech, he had one inevitable line, regardless of where he went. Reporters finally took to abbreviating it in their notes as BOMFOG, BOMFOG for short. Brotherhood of Man, Fatherhood of God. Now, this fifth Sunday after Pentecost used to be known as Brotherhood Sunday, is that phrase in St. Peter's epistle. So much, though, do the gospel as well as the epistle dwell on charity, that supernatural virtue. The fifth Sunday of Pentecost this year falls on what you might call, for us as Catholics and Americans, Foundation Weekend. It is true, the foundation is cracking, but still, it portrays the providential fatherhood of God in our regard, both for our country, which yesterday celebrated its Independence Day, and how fine were the fireworks last night. You know, the governor of California forbade fireworks. And then they showed this wonderful view of Los Angeles, the city of Our Lady, the Queen of the Angels, all lit up from one end to the other. And here it wasn't too bad either. As the tweet said, if you canceled your plans for the 4th because of a tyrannical governor, you're missing the entire point. But this is also the feast day of the church's twin foundations. Her two columns, St. Peter the Rock, St. Paul, the Spirit, and the Sword. 60 years of a novus ordo, seclorum, of a new world order have culminated for the church in a communist in the Vatican, clown Bergoglio, and churches closed throughout the land with barely a whimper. But it is that same crack that runs through state as well as church. Although the gates of hell will never prevail against the church, countries do come and go. Listen to this lapidary sentence I came across the other day. It's one of those things you'd have to read twice. From the Masonic French Revolution to the present day, the revolutionary left, both liberal and Marxist, has always been used to empower the Kabbalistic globalist oligarchy that is headed by international finance. So what we see today is simply the logical next step in this evolution. The oligarchy, that small ruling class which governs everybody else, no longer needs revolutionaries to depose leaders anywhere. The leaders are all reading from the same playbook. The revolutionary's job is to disrupt its conquered serfs. That would be us. to prevent counter-revolution. It's an interesting perspective. But listen to the conclusion. This is one of the main reasons why they're currently destroying every foundation upon which a strong nation is built. Family, religion, national spirit, culture, hierarchy, health, economy, the currency. Once this foundation cracked, tumbles, then the oppressive oligarchy has no opponents anymore. So therefore, the work of demoralizing the populace with panic and fear, and the carrying out of the long years in planning, plandemic that has been imposed upon us, the COVID coup, whose policies are constantly shifting and not by accident. Their spokesmen glibly contradict each other in their verbiage. The Surgeon General and the Blabbermouth General say this one month and say that another. No one questions it. And everything still does depend ultimately upon voluntary compliance and obedience swiftly rendered by our fellow citizens. The obligatory, yet legally not obligatory, mask is a good example of that. It's got people upset, because after all, you may find wearing that it is difficult to breathe, since we're used to oxygen. It may cause you a headache. One writer rather colorfully referred to the mask as this bacteria-infused face diaper. Well, in any case, it is unhealthy, and it doesn't protect you because the little virus is small enough to pass right through. It's counterproductive, and it's, of course, it's insulting. It is a sign of submission. A mask? Who wears a mask? Children do, and childish adults at Halloween. And then raccoons do. They're cute, but they can be vicious creatures. Doctors, of course, in the operating room, and thieves and robbers, and mobs of rampaging Marxists observing in their own way the 4th of July by destroying yet another statue last night of Christopher Columbus. Victor Hugo, the great French novelist, wrote, "Virtue has a veil, vice a mask." Some good folk are dreadfully afraid of the stupid thing. It's considered to be obligatory in many places. But listen to the first encyclical of the first pope I read to you in the epistle. Be not afraid of their fear. Christians are not to be afraid when threatened with mistreatment, as other people are. No, St. Peter concludes his epistle, and the sense is this: enthrone. The Douay we have sanctified, but the sense is enthrone Christ as your Lord. Think of a really lived family enthronement of the Sacred Heart. Instead of submitting to any other lordship, human or diabolic in its origin. Our Lord intends that we should have a peace, first of all, within the heart. That's what matters. For the rest, well, you can whip it on if they make you. Wear the silly mask perhaps for a while, or wear it at half-mast. Then be like Father Chicada, take a page out of his book, and then just sort of breeze past the mask police if you can. See if you can get away with it. But don't take it too seriously. Of course, the issues are most grave, but don't take it too seriously. They want that. The best response to the nonsense is to laugh, to show a gentle humor which deflates the pride of power. I'm thinking of St. Thomas More saying little witty things on his way up the ladder to have his head chopped off. And all of this, the idea of a certain playfulness, makes me think of our Lord in today's gospel. We know from the angelic doctor, of course, that our blessed Savior never laughed, because to laugh technically is to show surprise. But he did smile, and he did say amusing and sometimes ironic things which engaged and entertained his audience. I think of the preaching style of a St. Louis de Montfort, and he would enact in the sanctuary as for the sermon interesting scenes that were funny and at the same time very moving drama, in effect, of two angels, say, an angel and a devil, arguing about the death of a sinner. Or St. John Francis Regis in the south of France, Jesuit. He was another example of that. So our Lord takes today's threefold prohibition or condemnation of uncharitable speech, which saints and theologians have extensively commented on, but the idea is perhaps that he was preaching and the people were following him, and he was just sort of casting about for examples from common life and speech, the way people do offend against charity. And at the same time, he phrased the argument as a kind of a parody of the way the rabbis would argue the law. You would say today that that's Talmudic. And the people would have recognized this too. He had their attention. Raka is a word that translates as nitwit or pinhead. But the word fool, that's something else. Our blessed Savior himself used the term. It's not a generic insult. It means an impious or a godless person who neglects or who despises his own salvation. But our Lord is getting at the heart of the matter, the supernatural motive, the love of God poured into our souls at baptism with sanctifying grace. And that alone gets us peace, not cowardly compromise, and not fear, nor anger, certainly not hatred, racial or otherwise. For the Christian, it's not a matter of how far can I go in this speech without committing a mortal sin, that's for moral theology, but rather, how far can I go today in the company of my Lord, Jesus Christ? A smile goes a long way. That's the problem, of course, if you're wearing a mask, no one can see you smile. That's why you want to work on the eyes. If they force you into the covering the lower part, you know the business about when Irish eyes. Work on the eyes, but most of all, the heart, there, sanctify, enthrone the Lord Christ. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.